This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And I did watch that Net game last night because now all of a sudden they're relevant with the addition of James Harden and, of course, Kevin Durant running
on the court.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, here's my takeaway from last night's game. It's like they don't need Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
You know, they really don't. I mean, it's amazing how James Harden has just kind of like seamlessly like handled everything that's come his way. And last night, he was a facilitator early on in the game, and guys were not making their shots, and, you know, they were in danger of losing this game. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter comes around, and he takes over. And you know who the alpha male on the court is. You know who the guy who wants the ball in his hands, who's going to make the decisions, and who's going to make the key shots. You know, I was wondering how this whole thing was going to play out. And last night, I think I saw it. And that was the fact that he barely shot the ball at all in the first half.
Sure. Yeah.
He had the ball in his hands a lot, but he was
really quiet.
But he was, you know, getting the ball to his teammates and things of that nature. But then all of a sudden, when you're thinking, ah, they're going to lose this game, this is going to be great, he takes the game over. And even though Kyrie played 40 minutes, I'm like, where? He was like, he was almost invisible.
Yeah. So there's a couple examples now. First, when Kyrie was still out, in his unexcused absence that I guess turned into an excused absence, and James Harden joined the team. Remember how good the Nets were those first couple games with James Harden and the back-to-back triple doubles, and you said, oh, well, how's Kyrie going to fit into this thing? So that was two examples there without him. And then last night, I mean, when they needed somebody to go to, it was James Harden, and it was him in the fourth quarter. He was great. There was even that 1-3-pointer where James Harden gets the ball to Kyrie. Kyrie runs into two defenders, then right back out to James Harden, bang, with the three. So to me, I mean, when you really look at the composition of this team to this point, it's Kevin Durant and it's James Harden, and Kyrie Irving is still trying to fit in. That's the way it feels to me when I am watching this, which is interesting because back when this whole thing started, it was Kyrie driven. It was Kyrie Irving, the Nets fan. Kyrie Irving, who grew up in New Jersey with the Nets. Kyrie, who wanted Kevin Durant to join him there. And now all of a sudden, he's a guy that's sort of looking for a seat in the musical chairs of how it's going to work out. And we might be saying at the end of this thing that Kyrie Irving being on this team with James Harden now being a part of it is superfluous. It's not necessary. You don't really even need the guy. So, yeah, that is going to be fascinating to watch. But, you know, James Harden, as much as we have crushed him for his behavior, and he earned every bit of that, and he was someone who forced his way out in a way that was really, really, I don't know, just off-putting to a lot of sports fans and his own teammates and everybody around the league. He's come to Brooklyn, and he's been great.
He has been great. He's been playing, and last night they needed him. They needed him to show up in the fourth quarter. And again, I almost feel like listening to him after the game last night, it's almost like he was trying to make a point that he wasn't going to shoot in the first half.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. I can never tell with these guys. It's just so hard to read every little thing that they're saying and try to make something out of it or try to make more out of it than there should be. But it was like he wanted to just give the ball to his teammates and show everybody that he was going to be unselfish. Mm-hmm. And then it was like in the fourth quarter, all right, enough of that nonsense. I'm taking the ball, and I'm going to win the game for us.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they went on an 18-2 run in the fourth quarter where they finally just pulled away. And remember, this is a Miami Heat team that's basically missing five guys. You know, they don't have their top guys. They don't have Bradley Beal. They don't have Jimmy Butler. They don't have three of their main players. I mean, so I want to put this all in perspective. Yeah, it was a fine to sweep them twice, and you did it in two different ways, And Kevin Durant was talking about the Nets defense last night. I also think it was the fact that Miami couldn't hit a shot either.
Yeah, right.
So it's a little bit of both things, but.
But if we've been criticizing the Nets for no defense, and actually last night was one of those games that wasn't in the 140, so you give them credit for that.
I was just thinking about, like, what was I thinking about when the game was over, and who was the man? Who was the guy that was the impetus for them to win in the fourth quarter? And I think they played down to their opponents, especially with Jimmy Butler and Bradley Beal not
on the
court.
Well, Bradley Beal's not on the court.
I mean, it was the other guy that they were missing last night. I keep saying Bradley Beal. It's the other guy. I'll get it in a second. But anyway, they're missing two of their main guys.
Right.
And it's unfortunate for the Nets that they play down to that in the first half. But there is no question that when James Harden wants to play and wants to take over a game, he could do it.
Yeah, and he is someone that we've seen this from the regular season, James Harden, the version of James Harden, many, many times. And there was the one year a couple years ago, it was the year that ended up in that postseason loss to the San Antonio Spurs, where I thought he was the MVP. You know, the question is, can he do it in the highest pressure situations in the postseason? And it's going to help a hell of a lot to have more talent around him than he's ever had. But I just have to be fair. Obviously, I'm not rooting for success with this group. That has been well documented. Both me and you don't necessarily want this thing to work out. But James Harden could have come here and continued to be a pain in the ass. And he hasn't been. I mean, he basically just forced his way out because he didn't want to be there any longer. He acted like a total jerk to get traded. He got traded where he wanted to be, and he has turned it on. And he's also, as you mentioned, it hasn't been all about him. It hasn't been all selfishness. I mean, it's triple-doubles all over the place. First half last night, as you mentioned, he's passing the ball everywhere. So, I mean, that to me is the most dangerous part of the Nets is when James Harden and Kevin Durant are playing at their highest level. And I don't know if the Kyrie Irving part of that really fits in. Now, Kyrie's still as talented of a guy as out there. I mean, it's incredible. And he's also hit one of the biggest shots in recent NBA history when the Cavs beat the Warriors and came back from 3-1.
I was talking about Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero, yes.
That's what I was talking about.
Tyler Hero, young guy. Instagram model girlfriend named Katya Elise Henry.
Oh, yes.
Made a lot of noise there when he started dating her. Yes, Tyler Hero out with Jimmy Butler last night. But yeah, so you've got a team now that is still trying to figure it out. And I think they're kind of experimenting in this regular season, too, to figure out exactly what they're going to look like in the postseason and what version of James Harden is going to be needed, what version of Kevin Durant, what version of Kyrie Irving. It'll still be, even though it's not my team and I want him to lose, it'll still be fascinating to watch how it all shakes out.
Well, to me, it seems like James Harden has fit in perfectly. He hasn't done anything that you could say. I even watched him last night. Again, like, he was unselfish in the first half and then almost felt like, you know, I have to take over the game so we win it in the fourth quarter. And there's no question about that that was the case. You can talk about defense all you want because that's what we'll talk about as they get into the playoffs and they really do start playing defense. But I think also Miami just wasn't hitting shots. That's the other thing. You know, when you have guys wide open, like Kyrie Irving did not shoot well last night. Kevin Durant did not shoot well last night. And then when they needed something, you know, this is going to be interesting. They got to add a couple more players yet. You know, they're still short on the bench.
Yeah, I know, and it's going to have to be a big somewhere, somehow. They're going to have to add a little defense in the middle. They cannot continue to be as exposed as they are down there. I'm not sure exactly who that guy is going to be and where it's going to come from, but that's what Sean Marks needs to do. I mean, a more defensive-minded big for this team that, of course, isn't going to crush them on the offensive end, but it has to be defense-first guy. You got enough offense for days. I mean, you got three of the most talented scorers that the league has ever seen, so you don't need to add any more of that. You got Joe Harris as the guy that's going to be open most of the time when all the attention is on those superstars, and he'll be nailing those threes. You know exactly what the Nets need to do to be able to get better. It's going to be defense. It's going to be a defensive presence. So another win for them. James Harden looks great. I wish I could continue to say that James Harden is one of the most unlikable players in basketball, but he has said the right stuff. He has played great. There's nothing about his tenure as a Net to this point that you can criticize. I mean, it's true, though. I mean, I just want to be fair. But I mean, what can you say negatively about James Harden's tenure as a Net since he's come here?
Yeah, it's usually like when teams make trades for guys like this, it's usually an adjustment period.
I mean,
they just gave him the basketball to go out there and go play, and he's done everything that he did in Houston, and maybe even a little bit more, because last night you would think that it wouldn't have to be such heavy lifting for him because of the other guys that he's playing with. But last night was his night, you know, especially in the fourth quarter. So that's good for him. You know, the other thing that I was thinking about, I don't know if you saw this story yesterday. I did not know this. Nobody knew this until somehow, some way, Tom Brady Sr., Tom's dad, came out and told the world that for the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, he and his wife were extremely sick with COVID-19. And Tom's dad was actually in the hospital. And then you think back to the beginning of the year and all the different chatter around Bruce Arians and Tom Brady and what was going on. Can you remember that?
Of course.
And how it was like,
it wasn't that long ago.
Is it not going to work? I mean, sometimes people forget because things happen so fast.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was all Bruce Arians was criticizing Brady, and then was it going to work? And, you know, you're jamming this offensive system down Tom Brady's throat. And it's not working. And he's a guy that doesn't throw the ball down a field, and that's all Arians wants to do. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of negative talk around.
Right. So his mom and dad have never missed one of his games. And, his dad goes on to recount how he was so sick, he didn't even care that his son was playing the first 2 weeks of the season. And so imagine just the burden of trying to play on a new team, new players, new situation, all the pressure of playing quarterback in the NFL, and then having your parents, at least your dad, in the hospital, very sick. His mom was also very sick with COVID, and trying to FaceTime, you know, every single day with your parents in California. Now, his dad basically said, look, my son, you know, wants to be with us, but he also has to show up. He has responsibilities, and we show up. That's how his dad phrased it. You know, Tommy was going to show up for Tampa and be there for Tampa. And I was thinking about how the burden of what that must have been like, and nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, maybe some of the people at Tampa knew about it. Maybe there was rumblings or something in the building. But he kept this whole thing pretty close to the vest because I hadn't heard anything about this until yesterday.
Yeah, generally things like that, you know, whether it's an injury to a player or something that's going on in the life of a player, you'll hear about it once the season ends for that player because they never want it to be a distraction. And they say, okay, now I can talk about it. You go into the off season. Now, there's one guy in Ben Roethlisberger I talk about all the time that no matter what's going on in his life, if it's negative, he'll just blurt it out. But most guys, you know, usually it'll come out afterwards, be like, you know, something you didn't know about this season for Tom Brady was this. But it came out and they still have to play the Super Bowl, which was interesting. But yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine what that is like to deal with something as serious as COVID-19 with your parents, who, of course, his parents are older. And he's not in the same state. He can't see them, worrying about that while with everything going on with the team. It's just another one of those things that Tom Brady seemed to figure out that's extremely difficult, which is one of the things that he's best at.
His dad gave an interview with ESPN just talking about it and taking us all through it. And I was just this explains a lot. It explains a lot at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and speaking of explaining a lot, so we didn't know what Aaron Rodgers was talking about at the end of the NFC Championship game.
Cryptic messaging.
Yeah, about the whole, you know, people's futures are up in the air and, you know, even mine. And we said, wait a second. I even got a little excited. I was like, does he want out of Green Bay? Does he not like Matt LaFleur? Does this whole Jordan Love thing bother him? Is maybe he on the way out like Matt Stafford and others? And then we come to find out that he just wants more money and a new contract. So there you go. So he's not going anywhere. He's just playing the cards right after the game. He's going to put a little pressure on him. The Packer fans freak out. Not only did they lose the NFC Championship game again, but also Aaron Rodgers may be going elsewhere or thinking about retirement or whatever. All he wants is more money. So he'll get his more money. He'll be there in Green Bay, and this thing will continue to churn like it has for the last 20 years.
Well, they're going to need to do something with him because he's going to be $31 million on the salary cap, but not all of that money goes into his pocket. He's going to make about $22 million. So when you look at the amount of money that he's making and you compare it to some of the top guys, he has been surpassed numerous times by numerous players. This is one of the reasons why he wants more money, and I don't blame him. I mean, he is the MVP of the league. He is the face of that franchise. It's unfortunate that what happened to them this past weekend will not kind of like just absolutely make this season a total success for him and his teammates, but he wants more money. That's what it comes down to. Deshaun Watson, more and more I'm hearing, the more and more he wants out. So the Jets are in play. Miami is in play, and both of those teams should be in play, and probably – the only two teams that could realistically make a trade for Deshaun Watson, maybe San Francisco, but I think because Deshaun has a no trade clause in his contract, he can basically go to Houston and say, I want out. Now, he personally has not said that. All the stuff that is happening is around people who represent him, people who know him, people who play with him, that kind of thing. So there's smoke, there's fire, there's no question about it. The question really comes down to, do the Jets and the Dolphins, do they believe in their young quarterbacks compared to Deshaun Watson? I would answer a strong no, they don't. They want this young, they want Deshaun Watson. He's offense in a bottle, and he's ready to roll, and he'll put up 35 touchdowns for you tomorrow, even with the lack of players around him here in New York. He'll just raise everybody's level, much like he did down in Houston. There's no question about that. But he does, this is going to be really interesting to see whether or not the Jets and the Dolphins are going to go all in for this. The Jets have a little bit more draft capital than the Dolphins in terms of picks over the next 2 years. But obviously the Dolphins have a high pick this year as well, but the Jets have the higher pick. But as you look down the down their draft list, the Dolphins have just as much, if not a little bit better, early picks than the Jets have. So who knows what Houston would want, but they could certainly replenish their entire team, it seems like, if one of these teams are desperate enough to go after Deshaun Watson.
What makes this deal attractive from a Jets perspective, outside of the fact that Deshaun Watson is going to be your starting quarterback, is you have two picks this year in the first round and two picks next year in the first round, so you don't feel like you're going through multiple drafts without first-round draft choices. I mean, and I've been fans of teams, you know, like the Knicks for years not having a first-round draft choice. We watched that happen to the Nets as well in basketball when football teams like the Chicago Bears, when they got Khalil Mack and they had to trade a couple of first-round picks, and then they went through a number of drafts without a first-round draft choice. The Steelers this past year, because they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, and you get to the draft and you're like, oh, wow, that's right, we don't have a first-round pick. I mean, the Jets can make a big deal like this and then still have a first-round pick. The one thing that I can see holding all of this up, though, is the relationship that is sparked in the beginning between whoever the new head coach is and Deshaun Watson. Now, it's down to Leslie Frazier and Eric Bieniemy. I saw Leslie Frazier coach my team. He's a wonderful guy. He's a nice guy. He's got a great, great reputation and resume. He had a really bad quarterback there in Christian Ponder, and they went to the playoffs 1 year. They had 10 wins. They ended up losing in the wild card round. The other 2 years he was there were miserable. They ended up moving on and going with Mike Zimmer.
I'm sure he's learned, though.
Yeah, but I remember him, right, and I'm not saying he shouldn't get another job. I'm just saying it's not like, you know, Leslie Frazier's coming in as a head coach having gone to the playoffs 5 out of 6 years. And Eric Bieniemy is the other name that the Texans are. They weren't going to interview him. Now they have interviewed him. They're going to continue to look at Eric Bieniemy. So does Leslie Frazier or Eric Bieniemy talk to Deshaun Watson, and then all of a sudden that is sparked in Deshaun Watson? Like, you know, I really want to stay here. Mm-hmm. I mean, does Eric Bieniemy have all these ideas offensively that he's bringing over from Kansas City that he throws Deshaun Watson's way, and he goes, oh, hold on a second, this is a different story now.
Well, here's the problem. Deshaun Watson does like his offense coordinator that he has had there, and he would like to keep him too. You know, that wouldn't be a bad thing for Deshaun Watson, but according to pretty much every NFL insider, from the NFL Network guys to Jason Lockham Ford, Adam Schefter, and everybody else,
It doesn't matter.
So it looks like he wants to move on and move out. And there are a number of ex-Texans that are saying that that's exactly what he should do. He should force himself out. That's another thing. But he has not uttered those words. I haven't heard that we're going to part amicably like they did in Detroit with Matthew Stafford to kind of just calm the waters and everybody will stay down and let the team now go out there and try to auction off Matthew Stafford and see if they can get a big haul for that 33-year-old quarterback. But, you know, if it's going to be the Jets or the Dolphins, I mean, if you are the Jets, you cannot allow Deshaun Watson to go play for the Dolphins. You can't.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
So that means you got Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson in your division?
Well, also the Dolphins are probably thinking the same thing. Like, we can't let him go to the Jets.
Exactly. So that's why Houston's sitting in the catbird seat. If they can convince their fans that, you know, not to have like a revolt on Nick Caserio's decision here.
Yeah.
I mean, because... So Houston's a mess salary cap wise. This will lessen that burden. That's a good thing for them. They have no draft picks to speak of.
This would help too.
This would definitely help. They also, if they do make a trade with either the Jets or the Dolphins, they could acquire a young quarterback in either Sam Darnold or Tua Tagovailoa, or one of those draft picks at the top of the draft will let them go draft the quarterback that they want coming out of college. And that means the Jets or the Dolphins could trade either Sam Darnold or Tua Tagovailoa to somebody else.
And then you
instantly get more draft picks back.
Right, yes.
So this whole draft haul for the Jets goes back to the Jamal Adams trade. And this is how you use draft capital if you can make it happen.
And if we would have said at the time, do you trade Jamal Adams for Deshaun Watson?
Yes.
Everybody says yes. And they still say yes this morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
A woman getting her face bit somewhere in uptown from where we are.
Yeah, not a good story.
No, not a good story. I don't know why you told me that, Jerry. I mean, now all I'm thinking about, I'm like feeling my face being bitten all morning long.
Because we were talking about Al's condo becoming the suburbs when the oceans basically contract. And we were talking about life.
The oceans are contracting now?
We were talking about the year like 2200.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then Eddie said the glaciers are coming and we're going to freeze to death.
This woman got her face bitten off. Just like that. Nice segue.
Well, it seemed to fit.
Right. And then you guys went from that to Godzilla versus Megadong.
Yes.
Megadong.
You never know what Megadongs. You're going to get. From 5 to 6.
You have no idea. We covered Pawn Stars. Not porn. Pawn Stars.
Yeah, right.
We covered baseball. We did football. And we did the world ending. Megadong. Hey, listen. We all have our likes.
We all have our preferences in this life. All right, Jerry. Well, very good. I enjoyed that a lot this morning as I was getting ready for the show. And I'm ready to enjoy an update if you got one for us.
Yeah, I do. We can start since you guys started with the Nets. What the hell?
Irving inbounding. Out top to Harden. Taking it left to the elbow. Stops. Takes. Fadeaway. Good. Oh, James Harden. With the knockout.
That was Chris Carino with the call here on The Fan. Yeah, James Harden had a pretty big fourth quarter, and the Nets wound up beating the Heat 98-85. He shot 7 of 10 for the game, had 20, 10 come in the fourth. Kevin Durant, tough shooting night, still finished with 20 and 13. Here's Steve Nash. Team really fought through.
Guys, we're tired tonight. We couldn't buy a basket. They had a lot of good looks. Tired shooting the ball, but also tired in that we were a little stagnant against the zone after a really good performance against it the other night.
But that's the beauty of having not one, not two, but three guys that can handle themselves. Kyrie Irving hit 16 as well. Here's Nash.
On any given night, it could be any one of them, or it could be Joe Harris. It could be someone else. So those guys also make each other and their teammates better by the attention they draw.
And so we're what, about a week and a half, 2 weeks or so since the trade? Here was Bruce Beck with Harden afterwards.
James, you made it clear to us from day one that you are here to win. That's the goal. That's the number one priority. Are you enjoying the challenge of trying to figure out what you need to do to help this team win the most?
Yes, that's the best part of it.
It's the best part of it. A very good question, good, quick answer. Here is Jeff. Yes.
Do you think that if Kyrie Irving went AWOL again, that this team is still a championship team?
I do.
Yeah, me too. They may even be better. Like, I don't want to say that, but Harden to me has been so good since he's come over. And then seeing him in the fourth quarter last night, and Kyrie, I just don't – they got to find a role for him where this team is extremely dangerous. They're already dangerous.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't know what his role is. I knew what his role was before Harden was here, and he was going to be the main ball handler, and he was going to be a facilitator, and he was a guy that could easily go for 37. But like in the most important moments in the game, I'm looking to him third. Aren't you?
I don't know about third, but it's interesting because it can be any one of the three. I guess my question would be, at some point, are they bickering back and forth over who gets to be the man?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
We'll see.
I think they all realize what they've done here. They've put this whole thing together. That's stupid. They know that people are watching the way they're playing. That's why I thought, watching the game early last night, that James Harden played the way he played because he was trying to make a point that I'm going to pass the ball,
yes.
I'm going to facilitate, I'm going to get out of the way. I don't always need to take the shots.
Is he going to be thrilled, though, taking one shot a quarter, which we've seen now a couple of times?
You know what? If they win, I don't think he's going to be
fine. Well, you might be right about
that. He'll be fine. But, you know, when the game is on the line, I could see who the alpha male is. I know who's got the ball in his hand. Now, he will find Kevin Durant. There's no question about it. But I'm with Gio. Where in this situation now, this Kyrie fit, and I don't know what to tell you. If Kyrie decides to take off again, then the next thing it's not going to be a problem.
No, I really
it's not
don't think
be a problem.
I think this is one of the main reasons now in watching this play out why Sean Marks was so aggressive in making this deal, because at that point Kyrie hadn't come back yet. It's not someone you can really trust is going to be there every day, and now you feel like you got a better team without him. I mean, with the way that Harden has played to this point. And who knows? I mean, maybe James Harden, he goes and he parties and he does something stupid like he did in Houston. But right now, I mean, he is locked in, man. He is completely locked in.
So far, so good for sure. The Nets are off tonight. The Knicks are in Utah to take on the Jazz at 9. The Lakers, meantime, were in LeBron's old stomping grounds, and they came up with a win.
Davis one-on-one with Jared Allen. Hand it to LeBron. 110-107. LeBron for three. He's got 44. LeBron hits another three.
That's what I say. What do you need to call a timeout for?
What a show by LeBron in his hometown.
That is Lakers radio with the call. Wound up winning 115-108. LeBron had 46. I believe it was 21 in the fourth quarter. Here he was afterwards. At the end of the third, he missed a left side jump shot that rimmed out. And as he's running back to his bench, he stopped dead in his tracks because clearly he heard something because there's no one there. And as it turned out, he indeed heard what we thought maybe he heard.
Yeah, someone I know for sure. Felt like he was just a little bit too excited about seeing me miss.
And then, so he glares at the guy, then scores the 21 in the fourth quarter, and he was asked if he knew who the guy was.
Yeah, I know who he is. You know, he's part of the front office group, you know, but, you know, he was really excited about me missing, you know, that shot a little bit more extra than I would have liked.
Well, he took care of that in the fourth quarter. Actually, hey, kind of funny.
Did I see this right? Did he say he was inspired last night by Tom Brady's performance?
Yes, I'm going to get to that next hour. I just recorded it.
Look at that.
He was inspired by Brady, and he was inspired by Kelsey and Mahomes and the whole Hardman deal. So we'll get to that coming up next hour.
Greatness being inspired by greatness.
Yes,
man.
That's exactly Gulps right.
All over the place. Yes.
No question. That's exactly right. And the Nuggets beat the Mavericks 117-113. Jamal Murray gave a forearm to the private area of Tim Hardaway Jr.
that.
And was ejected.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I have swollen testicles.
He might.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
I just don't get it. Like, I understand, you know, some guys just lose it in the moment, but it's like, what, trash talk him then. Say something to him. Like why, while you're getting up from the ground, do you have to, like, take your forearm and jam it into the guy's
ball
bag?
Well, you don't know what's going on off the court, man.
Yeah, but
you never know. You never know.
I don't know. It would take a whole hell of a lot for me to punch somebody in the
junk. You got to go to the Instagram accounts and see what's happening.
You think something's happening?
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, all right. I'll take a look.
We'll check out if Tim Hardaway Jr. has done something stupid in the past. The Clippers play the Hawks tonight. No Kawhi Leonard, no Paul George because of COVID health and safety protocols. And can you believe it? And I'm sure you did a sports minute on it. It is 1 year ago today that we lost Kobe Bryant. When then the world began to end right after that.
Yeah. No, I know. I can't believe it, to be honest with you.
1 year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, after everything that happened in the beginning of COVID, it was almost like, can you believe that, you know, Kobe Bryant is still, like, you'd forgotten that had happened because of everything that was going on. So, yeah, a full year.
January 26th, yeah. Bucks Chiefs in the Super Bowl, as we know. Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Bucks, was a guest with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio. He was asked if he was surprised about the Packers kicking that field goal. That was obviously a main talking point yesterday.
No, not at all. I mean, I think Matt thought his defense would get that stop.
No, but they didn't because they were aggressive. They were throwing the ball in the final possession.
Definitely, we were playing to win. You know, when we wanted to use up the timeouts and definitely get that first down. And it was huge. It was a good call too. The guy was holding his shirt.
And so the Bucs advance while the Packers do not. Adam,
I mean, how is Zach Gelb getting Bruce Arians and Jim Rome gets like the beat writer from the Tampa Bay Times? What's going on? I mean, good job, Zach Gelb.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to me that, you know, sometimes I put on those other shows or check the Twitter accounts of these other shows on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of beat writers. And Zach Gelb's reeling in the big fish. Interesting.
Now with Rome, the head basketball coach at Texas A&T.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of that, too. A lot of college basketball head coaches.
Freaking Geo.
Beat writers and, you know, Gelb's having a chat, fireside chat with Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians.
The day after the NFC Championship game.
Had him on for like 15 minutes.
It's good. Good
friend. It's very good. Absolutely. Here was Packers wide receiver Adam Lazard. Really thought they'd be going to the Super Bowl, so clearly hurt.
I can speak for a lot of people in this building that, you know, we were very much set on going down to Tampa and playing that game.
But they are not. I don't know if this was post-game Sunday or if this was yesterday, but I did see this clip, and not only because you got all the news with Aaron Rodgers and the story on Pro Football Talk. I don't know where I saw it, but that I guess Aaron Rodgers, according to sources, wants a new deal. Matt LaFleur was asked either 2 days ago or yesterday if he expects to have Rodgers back next year. We certainly heard from Rodgers after the game.
I sure as hell hope so. I mean, guys, the MVP of this league.
Said he's the heart and
soul of the
team.
That was after the game.
That was after the game. I didn't see
that
until today.
Because they were asking him about Aaron Rodgers' quirky, weird comments.
Got it.
And then, of course, Brett Favre came out and said, don't worry about it. It's just that he's depressed. He's disappointed. You know, he just lost his second NFC Championship game. He'll be back. What you're hearing there is just all the emotion. And, of course, he wants a new contract.
Yeah, Brett Favre, I think, does these Zoom interviews and stuff from his bathroom. I'm fully convinced.
He might.
Every time I've seen him, I think he's in his bathroom. Like, I see a lot of white, and, like, I see this, like, a small window with, like...
It's like a bath fitter bathroom, or what is it?
No. It's not that nice.
No, it's not that nice.
It's interesting. And
maybe
I feel like
he's in the outhouse on his farm.
Yeah, like, he's
it
huddled.
Could be.
He's huddled in some small area. He's probably getting away from kids.
Maybe he's hunting.
Stuff. Yeah, it could be that too, but every time I see him,
is he using the bathroom when he's?
He could be sitting on the toilet.
If Moose can do an instant video reaction while getting a haircut, Brett Favre can be in his bathroom.
I don't know how long ago this was, but I used to do something with Jim Kelly, and Jim was always out hunting.
Yeah,
somewhere, like on a Monday morning. I forget what we used to do. It was some sort of radio call in or something together. I can't really remember what it is. All I remember is every time I was talking to him or we were doing our thing together, he was out hunting in the woods somewhere.
Must have had a good satellite phone.
And he was always talking like this. And then I was asking him, do you have like deer stuff like all over you? Like,
deer stuff.
Deer stuff. Well, can I say it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Deer urine all over himself? I'm like, do you have deer urine on you? He was like whispering. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, did you watch the games yesterday?
No, of course not. No, he's out there, you know, just trying to get a 5-point buck. Was this while you were playing or after you were retired?
No, this is after this had to be, I'm assuming it's got to be like early 2000s, somewhere around there.
Now, I don't want to open the floodgates of the hunting calls, but do hunters actually pour deer urine on themselves?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Chiefs left tackle Eric Fisher will miss Super Bowl 55, torn Achilles. The other day, so that sucks for him. The Steelers promote quarterbacks coach Matt Canada to the team's offensive coordinator. The Baseball Players Association reportedly turns down the latest proposal for the universal DH and an expanded playoff format. I guess they don't want the two tied together.
Weird.
I thought it was weird, too.
I don't understand this. I didn't think either one of those things were big bargaining chips. The more I read about it, I guess that the Players Association doesn't love the expanded playoffs.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, because I think that most of the revenue goes to the owners, and they feel like...
What about a chance to win?
I know. I don't know. I don't understand.
For Christ's sake.
It's all about money, guys. It's all about 100% money, and the players want more of it. And, you know, the most powerful players' union in the United States for the longest time has been the Major League Baseball Players Association.
I understand.
And they will fight, and they will fight, and they will fight. And they have stayed together. So whether we like it or not, that's the true aspect. they want to separate these things is what they want to do, and then they want to separately negotiate them.
I mean, what's the correlation, though? I mean, isn't, you know, the DH to me is something that benefits the players anything.
You know, if you're going to expand the playoffs, are you expanding the player pool of money? That's a question that has to be answered. We're not expanding the playoffs unless you're expanding the player pool of
money. You're talking about just getting an extra team or two in the playoffs. Why wouldn't you want that opportunity
just because
to play for a champion?
It doesn't mean that they propose the money that goes along with it or that they think should go along with it.
How about you're making $5 million a year, you get an extra series?
Hey, Jerry, look, I know it's frustrating, and I know that you...
And that's not even a big salary, by the way.
I know that. I know that you're frustrated by it. I'm frustrated by it, but I'm just telling you that the Major League Baseball Players Association has always fought and fought and fought and will not give in. They just won't give in. And especially, you know, the owners will use the pandemic, you know, and they'll show losses and this and that, and the players will not trust them. The players do not trust the Major League Baseball owners or the commissioner. They just don't.
I'm still waiting for the first player that sucks on his contract to give money back.
Yeah.
None of them will.
Of course they won't.
But, you know, what about – I know it's a hard argument to have on both sides because you're talking about millionaires versus billionaires in most cases.
Well, I mean, we did it back in March and April and May so many times. I mean – that's the thing. So this is the first time that this actually came out in the public, some of the stuff that they were talking about. They did a good job this time around of keeping it under wraps because they were negotiating through the media in the spring with this.
It's a killer.
And everybody was just so sickened by it that they said, okay, we can't do this again. But now here we are, sickened by it again.
And now also comes this comes on the heels of the Cactus League. Mayors out there in all those cities signed on to a letter asking Major League Baseball to move the start of the Cactus League back. I don't know how far, but they don't want spring training to start on time simply because of the spike in coronavirus out in Arizona.
Yeah, so let's
just quickly, the Yankees traded Adam Ottavino to the Red Sox for a player to be named later. Mm. Rangers in Buffalo tonight, the Islanders in Washington, Devils host the Flyers, and I'll get you more sound coming up next hour from LeBron and all sorts of good stuff.
All right.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Tom Izzo made a cartoon of that Steve Summers segment where he was reading Little Uzi Vert lyrics, and then I read some more Little Uzi Vert lyrics, and he has Steve with some tricked out cars and pit bulls and chains, and it looks great. So check that out. We have tweeted that out on the Morning Show account and my account. So go and watch it. He put a lot of work into making those cartoons, and I think it came out very funny. Another social media thing. I don't know what to believe anymore. I really don't. But someone sent me a screenshot of Woody Johnson's likes on Twitter. Now, Woody Johnson is back, and he met Rob Saleh, and he is ready to go and take the team back over. He's the owner of the Jets again.
All right, now, was this his official Twitter as the ambassador to Great Britain, or was it just his Twitter?
No, it's the Woody Johnson
and
verified Twitter.
There's a check mark. It's a blue check, so he is definitely verified then.
He is, but here's the issue with this.
Okay.
It's a screenshot. It's when I go and check, it's not there anymore, but it could have been deleted. That's the thing.
It could have been unliked, rather. Okay.
So the thing that he liked, it's not anything salacious. But what the thing that he liked that was screenshotted and sent to me by a listener was a guy saying, good, now go out and get Watson and shut Matt Miller the hell up. Now, Matt Miller, I guess, is a draft guy. I don't know. Maybe he has a Watson take. That's inconsequential to me. But he did like his comment that says, now go out and get Watson.
There you go.
So, but I went and then I saw the actual likes and it's not there anymore. So I can't say someone I suppose could have created this. I wish it was still up there. But Woody Johnson's Twitter also was in the news not that long ago. Remember when Brandon Tierney had tweeted something out along the lines of the Jet fan is the most tortured in professional sports. Ba-boom! And then Woody Johnson sort of responded with a pocket response where it was just like a bunch of consonants and a comma and something.
Yeah.
And then it just seemed like maybe he was looking at it and then put the phone in his pocket and something happened. So, I mean, I suppose that's possible, but the social media stuff is just impossible to keep up with, whether it's Deshaun Watson and his Jet Green and this and that. But I just think that this is going to be a thing for the next couple of weeks. I think the Houston Texans are going to hire a coach. They're going to have that coach reach out to Deshaun Watson, and at that point, we will know. Deshaun Watson at that moment needs to either go completely berserk, like we've seen other guys go in sports to get what they want, or he'll say, you know what? I kind of like what this coach has to say. I'm going to stay here in Houston.
Yeah, you know, if Leslie Frazier is to be hired, the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, I would think that that would happen this week. If something doesn't happen this week, then I believe it's going to be Eric Bieniemy. I know both coaches are trying to put coaching staffs together as we speak.
Yeah.
And I do believe that Eric Bieniemy could probably have an interview with the Texans this week, 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl. This would be a time where he could go and get another interview if they want to have a secondary interview with him. But everybody is saying, though, that Deshaun Watson doesn't care who the coach is because they don't.
It's the ownership. It's the organization.
Is upset that he wasn't asked about the general manager. And again, you know, you talk to other people around the league and you say, should a player have that sort of ability and that kind of impact on a team? And everybody to a man says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They don't owe him that. What they owe him is the money that he has signed on a contract for. And that contract happens to be very significant.
Yeah.
And that's why there are only a couple teams that can handle that contract. And the Jets are one of the couple teams that can. I would think that I said this before, you know this, so you've heard me say it on this radio station. If Mike Tannenbaum were the general manager, he'd have it done. He would get it done. Assuming that Houston wants to play ball here.
All right, so I'm going to give you a couple of guys. You tell me if for the next 10 years you would want them over Deshaun Watson or not.
Okay.
For the next 10 years, because we're talking about the age of Deshaun Watson. We're not talking about a guy like Tom Brady.
He's 25 years old, and he just came off of his best year on a bad team.
All right, so the next 10 years. So if I leave out someone like Aaron Rodgers who's winning the MVP, it's because Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be playing 10 years from now, where Deshaun Watson will be playing 10 years from now. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Okay. Josh Allen.
Yes.
Justin Herbert.
Yes.
So those three guys you would take over Deshaun Watson
yes.
so far. Kyler Murray.
No.
Baker Mayfield.
No.
Joe Burrow.
See, he's hurt, and I don't know how he's going to come back. If he weren't hurt, I'd say yes.
Okay. I'm going to throw a curveball at you here.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence.
So the Jets are in a different position. They're a team like, you know, the Jet fan, if they have an opportunity to get a 25-year-old proven commodity that will immediately make them a winner over the next 5 years, as opposed to taking Trevor Lawrence with number one overall and going through another rookie season for another rookie quarterback, I'm going to say no.
Okay. So basically what the Jets would be trading for. Because we don't know who's going to come out in the draft the next couple of years, if they're going to be good or not. But right now, from what we know, if the Jets made this deal, they would be trading for the, what, 1, 2, 3, 4th, in your opinion, 4th most talented quarterback over the next 10 years out of everybody who is available
right.
in football.
I believe so, yes.
I mean, that is a life-changing type of trade.
Right, and all the football people that are in my life that I talk to all say the same thing. They are all like, this guy is a can't miss. I mean, like, he's proven that he is everything that you want at the quarterback position, especially when you think about where could he possibly go? And if he possibly is going to Miami, now you got to deal with Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson in your division.
Yeah.
That's why it's really a serious take. And you can ask Rob Saleh, what do you think here?
Well, of course he's going to want him. I mean, Urban Meyer came out of retirement for the 58th time
right.
to coach in the NFL, which he rebuffed his entire life
right.
because of a quarterback.
So Coach Saleh knows that just give me the quarterback, I'll fix the defense, and I have enough confidence in the type of offense that we'll run that we will be a top 10 offense with that quarterback. He will give us the opportunity to put up 28 points a game just by falling out of bed and showing up and putting the uniform on.
Yeah, so I mean, I know that Jet fans know how important Deshaun Watson is. I think our listening audience understands how good he is. But I really wanted to put it in the perspective of, you're not going out to grab a guy for 2 years at the end of his career who still has something left. You're talking about a decade potentially or more of a guy playing at that type of level.
All right, so let me give you the other side of the coin, the business side of the coin. I got my new head coach, Rob Saleh, and I have a new quarterback, Deshaun Watson. How are we doing on the business side of the building?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, and the business side for a bunch of teams around here is really looking up. I mean, I know Met fans are disappointed they didn't get George Springer, but you got a new owner. You got Francisco Lindor, and you got James McKings. Things are looking up there. The Brooklyn Nets, we understand what's going on with them. We opened the show with that. Things are looking up there. The Yankees are always the Yankees. They brought DJ LeMahieu back. They're doing some other things. You know they're going to be a World Series contender. So,
and hopefully by the fall, we'll have fans back in the stands again.
Which changes a lot with the season tickets, and of course, that's very important. So, I mean, if I'm one of these teams, I'm looking around seeing this shift in New York sports, I want a piece of the pie too.
That's right. So this is why Joe Douglas has got to be sitting in his office and he's got to be looking at a lot of different combinations. He's got to go through the evaluation process with all of his college scouts, as he told us, about, you know, breaking down the potential quarterback draft at number two. You know, a lot of people still think that Zach Wilson is a top five quarterback. I don't necessarily know that I've seen enough film on the kid to really even make that determination at this point. They have. They unfortunately are not going to have the combine. So a lot of this stuff is going to have to be virtual. So good luck getting to know these people, you know, when they're not in person. Maybe they'll still have pro days that you can get your scouts to and maybe get a sit down with them or something of that nature to make these decisions. These are huge decisions. The one thing I do know is that Deshaun Watson is a player. And yeah, he is going to be putting up huge numbers for the next 5 years. That I do know. That is like almost a certain. That's a given.
I want to hear Phil Simms' take on these quarterbacks because he was one of the few guys last year that had Justin Herbert ranked above everybody.
Right.
And he was spot on with that one. So I want to hear what he has to say about this group of dudes. And Trevor Lawrence obviously being number one, but no, after that, what does he think?
If you think comparables, Trevor Lawrence is Justin Herbert. That's the comparable. That's the physical comparison and the type of athlete that Trevor Lawrence is. And that's why, you know, Urban Meyer came back to go coach Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
So think about if you're Jacksonville and you're Shad Khan, the owner down there. I got Urban Meyer and I got Trevor Lawrence. How about that business side?
How about that business
yeah, side? Yeah,
and
right?
I guess they're not going to London anytime soon.
Doesn't look like it. Nope.
That is on hold. I'm sure Urban Meyer asked that question. Like, oh, I come here and coach. We better be coaching in Jacksonville, not the London. You're not shipping me off to London anytime soon. No. Don't worry about it.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.